I'm excited to be here with you guys. Welcome Hope at Home. Say hi to somebody in the chat. Throw a thumbs up. I saw a bunch of you guys greeting in there. I saw Miss Candace and Miss Terry and Sheila and a bunch of others. We are so excited that you're with us tonight. And I'm really excited to be back with you guys. I know Miss Shayla said this, Pastor Shayla said this earlier, but we have kids camp coming up this Friday. We've been getting everything ready. So if you signed up, your children, make sure they get here at 11 o'clock because we're going to have a blast. It's going to be amazing. We've been building set stuff, and I'm just super excited for the kids to see it. More importantly, they're going to learn about Jesus. Amen. So they're going to have fun and learn about Jesus. So make sure they're here this Friday at 11. All right. So Shayla said this. I got to teach back in July, right before Sozo Camp, and I talked about having need of endurance. And tonight, one of the things that God is really teaching me is to be focused. And so before we get started, I want to look at a scripture and then I wanted to pray. So if you can turn in your Bibles, and Mr. Georgie's going to throw it up on the screen. It's in Hebrews, it's chapter 12, and it's verse 2. And I want to focus on just this verse. I know that last time I taught, I focused on running the race that God set before us with all endurance. But tonight I'm going to focus on being focused. All right, so Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking away from all that will distract us, focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Can you go back to the top, George? Thank you. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing. Can you guys say focusing at home? Focusing our eyes on Jesus. And we're going to pray right now, but I have a question for you guys tonight as we get started, and I have been asking myself this question because the Holy Spirit's been asking me this question. What are you focusing on? Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, that your word is going to go forth. It's going to be exactly what you want it to be. Father, we thank you that we are led not by what we see, not by what we feel, but we are led by your word. We thank you, Lord God, that we are passionately in love with you, that we are going from faith to faith, glory to glory. We thank you, Lord God, for what you said in your word, that as we draw close to you, that you draw close to us. And we thank you, Father, that this season will just be a season of us drawing continually closer to you. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, and we declare, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And not only are we listening to your word, but we are people who put it into practice. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. So we are going to be talking about being focused. Pastor Joel, I'm good. Thank you. The music will totally distract me and throw me off. Thank you. Yeah, right? You're making me lose my focus. All right, so interesting things happen when I'm not focused. I'll share a quick story with you. So some of you guys know I like to hike, and I'm like into hiking, into jogging. I love hiking, all right? And so this Sunday I went hiking, and I was tired, but I was like, I'm just going to push through, and I'm going to get it done. And so I was like, coming down the hill, and it was like, I was at like the 5 mile mark, and I was like feeling it. I'm like, oh, I'm making my time. I'm doing really good. And I'm like getting in the zone, right? And so I'm all excited. I'm jogging down. I love jogging downhill because you have momentum. And so you like go so much faster than you would normally. So I'm going downhill, and I start to do this thing where I'm not paying attention anymore to my surroundings. Bad idea, right? And so I'm not paying attention to where my feet are, and I'm totally not paying attention to the path. And so what ends up happening is I'm coming down, my foot catches a rock, and I start to fall forward. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna fall. And so like go to catch myself, and I'm like start to catch my balance, and all of a sudden my knee comes in. I just totally eat it down this hill, and I am like looking around like, who saw that? All right, cool, nobody's around. So like I get up and I realize that I'm literally covered from like head to toe in dirt. So there's no way that I'm gonna walk this off and pretend like I didn't just fall as I pass people on this trail. And so I'm like walking, doing like the walk of shame because I'm kind of in pain. And then I realize I have blood going down my arm. I'm like, I'm really not walking this off. So anyways, note to self, stay focused. Stay focused or you will eat it. And I don't mean in a good way. Like, you will just eat the dirt, man. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit's been talking to me and speaking to me in this season. What are you focused on? And it's really important that we know what we're focused on, because we will go the direction of our strongest thoughts. We will go the direction of our strongest thoughts. Whatever we focus on, we magnify. So that doesn't mean, that could be a good thing, that can be positive, right? We can, or it can be negative. We can magnify the Lord. We can magnify his word. We can magnify his faithfulness. We can focus on that. Or we can focus on our problems. We can magnify situations. We can magnify our fears. Whatever we focus on, we're going to magnify. So as you focus on something, you guys can just word picture like taking a magnifying glass and putting it over whatever you are focusing on. Whatever you are focused on, you will magnify, and you will go the direction of your strongest thoughts. And I want to look at a portion of scripture that you guys might be familiar with, but before we go there, I want to kind of set this up. So we're going to be in the book of Numbers tonight, and we're going to be in chapter 13. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. It's a really long time. And it was awful. Slavery is awful, and they were treated horribly. They had to, like, they had to kill their young baby boys. They had to, like, it was crazy what they were going through. And God delivered them with a strong hand from Egypt. He proved to the Egyptians that Pharaoh was not God. There was only one true and living God, and that was him. And he rescued the Israelites. He had them leave with their neighbors silver and gold and jewels. And they got to walk through the Red Sea on dry land, right? And so they came through. God would lead them by a cloud by day and a fire by night. God was faithful. God was with them every single step of the way. And when we pick up Numbers 13, they are about to go into the Promised Land. And so God tells Moses, hey, Moses, I want you to send spies into the land that I'm giving to you and have them spy it out, right? If you follow our kids' lesson, spying out the land for Moses, right? They're going to go into the land and they're going to spy it out. And Moses is going to choose spies to go do this. And so he chooses 12 leaders, one from every single tribe of Israel. These aren't just like Joe Schmoes. These are leaders of the tribes. They're respected leaders. And they're going to go in and they're going to spy out the land. And Moses gives them specific instructions. I want you to tell me how rich the land is, if it's fortified, if their people are trained for war, and if you can, bring some fruit back from the land so we can see it. And so we're going to jump right in to Numbers 13. The spies, 12 of them, had gone in, and for 40 days they had spied out the land, and now they're bringing their report to not only Moses, but the entire community of Israelites. So to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israelites at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, they reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. We're going to stop right there. And so we had taken from the land. So basically what happened is the fruit was so large that two people had to carry a cluster of grapes between one man and one man and a pole. So they were carrying a cluster of grapes so big that one person couldn't carry that. I've never seen grapes that big, but that's just a testament to how rich this land was. And so the spies come back, they're like, hey, this land is indeed rich. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And here's the fruit that it produces. But, right? We know there's a but. But they have some other things that they're about to say. And in verse 28, it says, but the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. So they go from like, hey, this land is awesome, to, the descendants are giants, and the cities are fortified. And so I love what Caleb says next. And Caleb in verse 30 is like, hey, hold up. Wait a minute. So Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. He's like, let's go at once and take the land. We can surely conquer it, right? We can surely do this. And then the other 10 spies were like, they explore the land with them. They're disagreeing. They're like, we can't go up against them. They're stronger than us. So they spread a bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travel through and explore will devour anyone who goes to live there. The people we saw there were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Okay, this is just a side note, but first of all, they didn't even know, the people in the land didn't even know that they were there. How would they know how would the Israelites know what they thought, right? They had no idea what these people thought, because unless they were the worst spies ever, people wouldn't know that they were there. That's the point of spying out the land. It's to do it in secret. And so these 10 spies come back and were like, there's lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, like this whole city, they're fortified and these people are giant. We can't do this. And Caleb's like, we can not only do this, we're going to conquer them. And so there's just these two different things of views. But here's what I want to say right here. They said, we felt like grasshoppers. If you have an opinion of yourself and you think yourself as a grasshopper, of course, if you see yourself that way, of course, everything else is going to seem giant to you. You're little. That's your perspective on yourself. Of course, the people are going to seem giant. The cities are going to seem fortified. But it's really interesting later on when Joshua goes in to the first city, Jericho, to take it over. The city was shut tight because the people were so afraid of the Israelites. It says that their like confidence had like melted within them because they had heard about the Israelites and what their God did. So the people of Canaan, the land that God was bringing them into, what they really thought of the Israelites was, wow, they are powerful. Wow, their God is mighty. That's what you find out later. They didn't think there were no grasshoppers. But that's what the Israelites thought of themselves. And so when these spies bring these bad reports, the whole community is listening. And in Numbers 14, verse 1, it says, then the whole community began to weep out loud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If we had only died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Okay, like, really, trip out. They just got freed a little bit earlier from 400 years of slavery, exposing their male children to the elements because the Pharaoh didn't want any more baby boys. Like, crazy situations. And here's what I want to say. If we don't set our minds, if we don't set our focus, we can think Egypt is better than being with a God who's faithful. We can focus and think that Egypt is our old way of doing things is a better situation than the God who has been there every single step of the way for us, who loves us and who protects us and who provides for us. That's how crazy our thoughts can direct us. We can get to a place that we would be like, no, I would never get there. But if we leave ourselves unchecked, we can easily get there. And so the children of Israel are like, we could have died better in Egypt. We could have died in the wilderness when they had been led by God every single step of the way from Egypt, who freed them from Egypt, by the way. And so there's a differencing of opinions, of focus between two spies and the ten. And I want to look what Joshua and Caleb say a little bit later. In Numbers 14, verse 7 says, they said to all the people of Israel, this is Caleb and Joshua speaking, The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. They're like, guys, stop tripping. And though if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and will give it to us. It is a land rich. It's a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. So Caleb and Joshua are saying, they're helpless prey. The 10 spies came back and said, this land is going to devour us. The differencing in focus is amazing. And I want to focus on Caleb and Joshua's focus. So this land that they're going into, that God's bringing them into, is called the Promised Land. It is the land that God promised to give them. He promised Abraham. He promised their ancestors that he was going to rescue them from slavery and bring them into this land. And it was exactly like God promised. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. Why? Because God keeps his promises. He does not lie. And so the differencing of focus is crazy. The differencing of mindset is crazy. See, Caleb and Joshua aren't focused on the fortified cities. They're not focused on the giants. They're not focused on the problems going into taking this land. They're not denying those things exist. They're just saying, you know what? I'm not going to focus on those things. I'm going to focus on my God, who is way bigger, who is faithful, who has never let me down. That's what I'm going to focus on. And so the main difference between the 10 and the 2 is their focus. The 2 are focusing on, oh, these people are big. Oh, this city is fortified. Oh, this, oh, that. And Joshua and Caleb are like, hey, the same God who rescued us from Egypt, who provided for us every single step of the way in the wilderness, that none of us were even feeble when we left Egypt, that God is going to be with us. And so Caleb and Joshua aren't like, oh, it's, you know what I mean? They recognize the difficulties, but they say, my God is so much bigger. And the children of Israel totally ripped themselves off from the future that God wants them to have, because they choose to focus on the issues, the problems, the giants, instead of the God who rescued them from 400 years of slavery. And the first generation of Israelites don't go into the Promised Land, not because of God, but the Bible says because of their disobedience and their unbelief, they didn't go in. And they got there because that's what they chose to focus on. And I was listening, I don't know if I was listening to a teaching or if I was reading a teaching, but I heard this and it really gave me perspective. It says, the quality of your life will never exceed the quality of your thoughts. The quality of your life will never exceed the quality of your thoughts. Like, if you have, like Joyce Meyer calls it, stinking thinking, if you have that, you're going to have a stinking thinking life, right? You're not going to ever exceed those thoughts. Because what consumes your mind controls your life. You are going to go the direction of your strongest thoughts. And you see that really clearly in Proverbs, in chapter 23, verse 7, it says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. What you think, you're going to become. Your thoughts become your words become what you do, right? And what you do becomes who you are. A lot of people say practice makes perfect, but I heard a teaching a few weeks ago, and it says, no, practice makes permanent. Whatever you practice becomes a habit, and it becomes who you are. And so with our focus, it needs to become a practice that we are focusing ourselves on God. And so in this season, I shared with you guys last time, like, I was in a season and I really was not liking it at all. Like, to be like straight up, I hated it. And I could just feel like my whole attitude shifting, my thoughts, and I hated it. I was like, ugh. You know what? It started in 2019, but 2020 didn't help. And so I was like, ugh, right? And so I was talking to one of my friends, and she's probably watching. She had my back. And I was like telling her about this season and how much I didn't like it and how I just felt emotionally drained, right? Like I felt like I got hit by like an emotional train and I just got dragged along the tracks. Like I just, it was not good. And my friend looked at me and she said, hey, Vegas, you're going to get out of this season when you make the decision to get out of this season. And I was like, first of all, to be transparent, I was like, my flesh was like, say what? What do you mean I'm going to get out of this season when I decide to get out of this season? But my spirit man was like, say that again. You need to hear that again. So she said that, and really, like, it stuck with me because I couldn't get it off of me. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it just stuck. And I was like, how can I decide to get out of this season? And what the Holy Spirit did is the Holy Spirit says, you don't control what happens to you necessarily, not everything. You don't always control the circumstances, but you control your perspective and your focus. And so what the Holy Spirit started to do is like, do you really want to keep focusing on the problems and what you don't like and how, this person's being, that situation, like, and then you just feel, right? Like you do, like you're focusing on all that stuff. It's no reason, there's no, of course you feel, of course you're like, you know what I mean? And so the Holy Spirit just started to really minister to me. Hey, she's right. And so what I started to do was, I was like, all right, I can keep focusing on the stuff that I don't like, that, by the way, 90% of it I had no control over, or I can start focusing on God. So what I started to do is like, all right, Lord, as stuff would come up, I'd be like, I would just go to the Lord and be like, Father, I trust you. You're going to work this out for my good because I love you and I'm called according to your purposes. Father, I thank you that you go before me, make the crooked path straight. And I just started declaring over myself and over the situation what the Word of God said. And one of the things that I would constantly say is that, Father, I thank you I'm coming out of this season closer to you. I thank you, Lord God, I'm coming out of this season stronger. I thank you I'm coming out of this season healthy, physically, mentally, emotionally. I thank you, Lord God, that the last months of 2020 will make up for all of the beginning of 2020. The last 4 months are going to be way better than the first 8. And I was just start declaring that my best days were ahead of me and not behind me. And I just started shifting my focus off of the junk and on a God who is amazing, who's been nothing but faithful to me. And when we start to do that, we start to magnify God. And one of the things the Holy Spirit had me do is, why don't you kind of start saying out your mouth all the times God has been faithful and has come through? And I used to have, some of you guys might remember this, I used to have this like old clunker car, right? It was a Honda. And I got sideswiped on the 605 freeway by a truck. And this car looked its age. It was like over 20 years old, and it was really badly painted, and it was bad. And so when I got sideswiped on the freeway, I could no longer open my driver's side door. Just couldn't. And so I would have to literally like climb over my center console in my car from the passenger seat every time I wanted to drive this car. And so not only did it look funky, but you had to, like, I don't know, like Starsky and Hutch, like through the car to get to the driver's seat. And I just remember wanting a new car so badly and praying about it. And God totally came through, right? And I was able to get a new car. Down the road. And it was just so cool. And the Holy Spirit just reminded me, do you remember when I came through on that? Do you remember when I came through here? And I just started to, like, out of my mouth, say, God, thank you for that. And thank you for that. And thank you for that. And thank you for your faithfulness. And it just started to focus myself on the goodness and faithfulness of God. And so there's real issues in 2020. Right? There's real hurts. There's real things going on. And there's opportunities for us to walk in fear. And we can focus on all those things, or we can focus on God, who's way bigger, who has the solution, mind you, who knows what's going to happen in 5 minutes and in 5 years and in 25 years when we don't even know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. And so we can focus on that, or we can focus on the problems. And it was really interesting because I'm not saying, hey guys, let's be fake and pretend like everything's great. Like, oh, I was straightening my hair and then I burned through my hair, but it's okay. Now my hair smells like a campfire. Like, I'm not talking about being fake or being weird, but I am saying, like, we can focus and keep building up the strongholds of fear and of problems, or we can start building up good strongholds of God being faithful and God being awesome and God being bigger than any problem. And that's what we need to do. And in Hebrews 12:2, it was the verse that we started with. And it says, looking away from all that will distract us. Listen, there's plenty of things to distract us. There's plenty of news reports. There's plenty of situations that can distract us. But what does it say? It says, focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. There's plenty of opportunities to get distracted. There's plenty of opportunities to walk in fear. We just don't have to take them. And so this is something that God has been really working on me about. And it's been a process of like working this out step by step by step. And one of the things that really helped me is I was reading this book by Viktor Frankl, and he's a really cool guy. He was a Jewish psychologist during the Holocaust. He lived in Nazi Germany, and he got put into a concentration camp. And he wrote a book, he survived, and he wrote a book years and years later about his experiences in a concentration camp. And he got moved to multiple ones. I think he got moved to like 4 different concentration camps throughout the war. It was crazy. He was in there for a really long time. And he studied people while he's in a concentration camp. He was like taking it all in. He studied who lived. He studied who died. And he studied who kind of thrived after being liberated from the concentration camp. And it's really interesting because the differences that he discovered between the people who survived and who died wasn't their life status, like where they were, their position in life. It wasn't the circumstances that they're faced. It's not where they grew up. But he said that their focus was the main difference. The ones who started to focus on how bad their situations were, how it was never going to change, how they didn't have any future, how they didn't have any hope of being rescued, he could literally set his watch to those people dying. He said he could set his watch to either A, take their own life, or B, they would give up to apathy and they would just let whatever, they just lost their all hope of living. And he saw it again and again and again and again. And it's interesting because he said that you have people who go through the same situations who have completely different outcomes. And so his point was like the people who survived in this horrible conditions in the Holocaust, he said when they focused on, the ones who survived, when they focused on the fact that they were going to get rescued one day, when they focused on God, when they focused on having a good future, not only did they survive, but they were the ones who were able to help other people while they're in that situation. Like, that is what we're called to do. We're called as disciples of God to believe and trust in God regardless of what's happening around us. And when we are focused on God, when our attention is on Him, not only can we focus ourselves, but we can help other people be like, hey, I went through that and I came out on the other side. God is the same. He's not a respecter of persons. If He did it for me, He can do it for you. And we can bring people along with us. Whatever we focus on, we are going to magnify. Are we going to magnify God? Are we going to magnify the God who created us, whose thoughts are so numerous they outnumber the sand on the seashore? Are we going to focus on that? Or are we going to focus on, they were out of my drink at Starbucks. I really feel the persecution. Like, no, I'm being funny, but really, guys, like, the church around the world goes through persecution, and they thrive. Underground churches are thriving, and I'm not making light of what's going on. Like, people are sick, and people are hurting, and there's financial issues, and there's stuff. But there's always going to be stuff. And we need to train ourselves as the disciples of God to say, no matter how bad it gets out there, my God is good. And I'm going to focus on my God. And I'm going to stand on His word. And I don't care what I see, I'm going to declare His word, because His word is more real anyways. And so he discovered that the ones who focused on God and the fact that they had a good future, how do we know that? Because God's word tells us in Jeremiah that the thoughts that he has towards us are good, that we have a good hope and a good future. They survived. And we need to have our focus and our perspective correct, because they're so critical to controlling the direction of our lives. As Christians, we can't autopilot and go through the day and be like, whatever happens, happens. No, we have to set our minds. There is no situation too difficult for God. And that has really helped me as I walk through some stuff in 2020, where it's like, okay, God, you got this. Because there's no situation too difficult for you. If you can part the Red Sea and over a million people can walk on dry land, you can handle this situation. And I'm going to be faithful to walk it out and believe and trust and focus in on you. You know, we don't always control what happens. You know, sometimes circumstances are out of our hands. We didn't cause them, but we always control us. We always control our attitudes, our reactions, our focus, and our thoughts, what we do with a thought after it comes in. Not every thought that pops into your head's yours. The enemy will throw thoughts at you, but we are responsible with what we do with those thoughts. And in 2 Corinthians, it talks about taking every thought captive according to the obedience of Christ. And when I say focus, what do I mean by setting our focus? How do we do that? When Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind and keep it focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on the things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. What you see one day is going to pass away. So we're to set our minds and keep it focused habitually, making a habit of it, on the things above, not on the things that are on this earth. And you're like, okay, that's great, but what am I focusing on? Well, hey, the Bible's got an answer for that. Amen? So we're going to go over to Philippians. And Philippians says in 4:8, this is in the Amplified, it says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, amen, we want it confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Okay, there's a whole list of what we are to focus on, right? If it's good, if it lines up with the word, if it's admirable, if it's worthy of praise. And one of the things that, because God's been walking me through this for years, like, where thoughts and just keeping my attitude right, it's been something that I've been walking out for a while. And this year God showed me it's so much more fun to walk on the offense than it is on the defense. And so God just started walking me through this. He's like, you can walk through the defense and you can be casting thoughts down every time they pop in, and we're to do that. That's the word. But to set myself up for success every day. And so what God started to do, what the Holy Spirit started to do is like, hey, when you get up in the morning, don't just get up. stay in your bed and start praying in the Spirit. And then read your chapter before you get out of bed. And then set your mind. So I start praying over the day. So if I know I have, I don't know, a task to do, or if I have an event coming up, I'm praying specifically for wisdom over that event, because God says if we ask for wisdom, he'll give it to us if we liberally and without reproach. Amen. We can partner with the God of the universe who knows everything, and he'll give us wisdom liberally without reproach. And once I get out of bed, if I know I'm going to start taking a while to get ready, I put on a teaching or I put on praise music. But at the very least, when I hop into my car to drive to church or to go on an errand, I have a teaching on. The Holy Spirit just really started to minister to me. Do you want to just be on the defensive, or do you want to be offensive? And when you're in defense, it's just like you're like, I feel like it's constant battle of just getting hit thought by thought by thought by thought, and I just, by the end of the day, I'm exhausted. Sometimes by noon, when I'm on the defense, when I didn't spend the time in the Word, when I didn't spend time before I got out of bed asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom for the day, asking God to direct my steps, I feel like I'm just getting like stuff thrown at me throughout the day. But when I set myself up, when I get up and I allow the Holy Spirit to speak into my life for that day, when I allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me, when I'm conscious to put on a teaching and praise music, it's a different kind of day. It's so much more fun to be on the offensive. And I love what Isaiah says in chapter 26, verse 3. It says, "You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation." Can you go back up, Georgie, please? Thank you. "You'll keep in perfect and constant peace." Y'all need peace? I know I do. "Whose mind is steadfast, that's committed and focused on you." That doesn't happen haphazardly. You have to set it. And it's a daily setting. And it's a minute by minute, because sometimes I'll start to look at the situation and the Holy Spirit will be like, "Hey, you're looking at the wrong thing," and bring it back. And it's a minute by minute adjustment. And you're not going to do it perfectly, and I don't do it perfectly, but there has to be an effort. It's a manual thing where you just pull it back. It's like being in a manual car. You have to manually switch gears. Like when you're an automatic car, it just does it for you, but your mind has to be set. Blank space, empty space, is still space for thoughts to come in. You have to set your mind. You have to start thinking on what is good and pleasing and perfect. Because if not, you're going to get sideswiped like I feel when I don't set myself up. Because the thoughts are going to come and situations are going to come and people are going to give you attitude and things are going to happen. And the stuff that you swore you put down on the kitchen table is not there because somebody touched it and moved it because they were helpful. Right? And you have all these situations, but we need to manually start focusing our thoughts. And so I talked about how we need focus. What I want to do right now is like practically, I went over a couple things that I do, but practically how we set our minds. How do we do that throughout the day, throughout the week? And I have to like moment by moment sometimes, depending on how the week's going, how the day is going, bring it back. And one of the ways that I do that is being in the Word. We need to daily be in the Word. As a church, we're reading a New Testament chapter every day together. Right now we're in Mark, right? Pastor Drew, Monday through Friday, has a daily devotional at 10 a.m. And he'll actually sit down and he reads the chapter with you. So if you're like, I haven't been saved that long. It's hard for me to jump in. Well, 10 a.m. is a perfect time for you to jump in, where somebody step by step, line by line, reads the chapter with you. And another thing with reading the Word, being in the Word, I love going into the Brown Holy Bible app and setting up plans for myself. And it's a cool thing is because you don't have to just do it by yourself. You can invite your friends in the app to do it with you. And so like there's so many plans that you can do as a supplement to what we're doing, a New Testament chapter every day, where you can put more and more and more word in. You're not going to outword yourself. You're not going to be like so overloaded you don't know what to do. No, trust me. Get as much word in as you can. Reread the chapter. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll read stuff in the morning, and by like noon, if somebody were to ask me my takeaway, I'd be like, I don't remember what chapter I read, to be honest. Like, just life happens. So reread it. If you're like up in the mornings and you're a good like morning reader and you're like awake in the morning, I'm not. Right? But if you're awake in the morning, read it in the morning. But then later on, read it again. And if you're one of those people who's like, you know what, it takes you a little while to wake up, and so you like read the chapter, but like you would fail the open book test, read it again. And so we need to constantly be putting the word in. Another way to get your focus off your situations and off problems and off the giants and off the fortified cities is to put praise music on. Praise music, right, takes your focus off of you and puts it on God. It magnifies God. You read throughout Psalms, magnify the Lord. Well, one of the practical ways to do that, put praise music on and start singing. It changes atmospheres. It'll change the whole way your house feels, how your day feels. Put praise music on and praise God, because he is worthy of praise no matter what is happening. God is a good God. And I think we need to remind ourselves, listen, God is good. Only good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights. That is God. And we need to continually remind ourselves how amazing God is. And praise music is a wonderful way to do that. Another thing is putting on podcasts and teachings, right? Throughout the week, I mentioned Pastor Drew at 10 a.m. Well, Sozo does their own at 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. It's another way to put the word in. Go on Instagram, listen to them. Miss Candace just did one today. Go watch it, right? Shayla did one yesterday. Pastor Joel did one on Monday, right? They're amazing. And that's a way to practically put the word in. There's a podcast app where you can just fill your guns, right? Your spiritual muscles, you can flex them, right? Get the podcast app. And we have an app, right? The Hope app, where you can listen to all these teachings, where you can just constantly be putting the word in. I heard part of Pastor Shayla's yesterday, where she was like, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, one of the practical ways of hearing the word of God is listening to sermons. And we have access to so much right now because we're such a technologically advanced society. We literally can listen to a podcast from 10 years ago. From 5 years ago, and we could just go back. I know that was part of Shayla's testimony of listening to podcasts from years and years ago. And that needs to be this habit that's habitually setting our minds. So when I get into my car, instead of turning the radio on, which there's nothing wrong with me listening to the radio, but I can set my mind and my focus on God when I start turning on God's word. And this season, God has just really ministered me. You have AirPods. Put your AirPods in and listen to teachings throughout the day. I literally walk around the church with one earpod in all day, and I just listen to sermons because I need it. I need it to keep my focus on God. And I've just seen, like, there's situations that are still there that when my friend said, hey, when you decide to get out of this season, you will. A lot of them in the natural haven't changed. But my attitude and my focus changed, and everything has changed. And that is not just me. That's how God wants to work out your situation too. God's saying, hey, I'm right here, and I'll be with you every single step of the way. And God has changed my heart towards some of these situations where there was people and I was just feeling like, ugh. But God's now like, start to pray for them. And so I've started to pray for them. And so it has changed my perspective where I'm not like, I look forward to the day. Whereas I would literally get up and be done with like next week.
on a Monday, right? I'm like, done with this week. I'm done with next week. I'm done with 2020. And God has changed my perspective as I have focused on Him, as I've gotten my eyes off the problems and the drama and have focused on a God who loves me. He has helped me walk this out every single step of the way. Another thing that we need to look at as disciples of God is, what are we taking in? What are we taking? What media are we taking in? Are we scrolling, right? Are we constantly taking in the news? Are we constantly taking in like secular media and secular radio? We need to kind of evaluate what we're taking in. There's nothing wrong with watching the news, right? But you need to guard your heart, because you're going to get out of your heart, from the heart the mouth speaks. You're going to get out of what you put in. And so, you know what, and right now there's a lot of bad news on the news, right? And so be informed, but be smart. You want to put a lot more word, a lot more teaching than you want to put in secular media, secular music. You know, it's start turning our focus onto God. And we're going to look at one final portion of scripture really quick, and it's in 2 Kings. And this is the prophet Elisha. And Elisha has made an enemy army, an enemy king, angry at him. Because he would basically tell the king of Israel exactly what the enemy army was going to do. Because God would tell Elisha, hey, the enemy army is going to move. And Elisha would go tell the king of Israel, so the king of Israel would avoid attack. And so the king gets like fed up. This enemy king gets fed up. He's like, who is the spy in my camp? And they finally are like, hey, there's no spies here. There's no traitors. Elisha keeps telling on you. Whatever you speak in your bedroom, Elisha is just telling the king of Israel. And so he's like, all right, well, we're going to get Elisha. Find out where he is. We're going to get him. And so what they end up doing is they track Elisha down to a town. And at night, they surround the town. So Elisha goes to bed. Everything's normal. Him and his servant go to bed. And when they wake up, they are completely surrounded. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning, went outside, there were troops and horses and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. He's like, dude, we're surrounded. And Elisha's like, don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than there are on theirs. Okay, Elisha's servant is looking out, and he sees the enemy army completely surrounding them. That's his focus. That's his perspective. And Elisha is seeing the same thing and says, there's more on our side than there are on their side. And then Elisha prays and says, oh, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. So here's what I want to say. There are problems and there are situations, but there are more on our side than there are on theirs. We have God on our side. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We have nothing to walk in fear about, because we have the God of the universe who is for us. And so, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what situations feel or seem impossible to you, but here's what I want to say. You can magnify and keep building up those situations, and it'll make you miserable. Been there, done that. Or you can magnify the God who will be there every single step of the way with you. He is worthy to be magnified. Those issues, those problems, that doctor's report, that problem in the marriage is not worth magnifying. But the God who is on your side, who is for you, who will tell you how to get out of the mess, even if you're the one who got yourself in the mess, he is worth magnifying. And it takes us saying, Lord, I see that. I'm not denying that what's happening, but I'm choosing to say, you are bigger and you are more important in my life, and I'm going to focus in on you. And When you do that, get ready, because life is about to get way better. And I can just tell you that a lot of the situations haven't changed, but it really, like, I can't overstate this. Everything really has changed for me. Because, thanks, Shay. But really, like, and I'm not trying to get emotional, but, like, really, God delivered me from myself and from the wrong mindsets and the wrong focus. Because we're going to, if we can get this, I'm 33 years old. If I can learn this lesson at 33, that my focus is wrong and that whatever direction my life is going, if I don't like the direction, I can probably check it back to a thought that became a word, that became an action, that became who I am. If I can learn this at 33, I will be thanking myself at 53 that I finally went through this and did the hard work now. And so you're going to go the direction of your strongest thoughts. And here's what I want to ask you. What do you want your future to be like? If you're going to go the direction of your strongest thoughts, what do you want that to be like? Listen, situations will change. Literally, you can wake up, you can go to sleep, and you're not surrounded. And you can wake up the next day, and you're completely surrounded. Things change all the time. But God doesn't. And you need to focus yourself in on the God who will never change. And he is the same. The Bible says, yesterday, today, and forever. And the cool thing is, the God who knows the beginning from the end wants to take you by the hand and lead you through all this. If we will let him. And you can focus in, and you can start talking about how big and how bad that situation is, like the children of Israel, and I did that. Or you can say, I don't care how big, and I don't care how bad they think they are, my God is way bigger. And he's going to get me through this, and not only is he going to get me through this, I'm going to help bring some other people alongside of me and bring them into the family of God and help them mature and help them grow, because my God is faithful. He's going to be faithful in my life, and he's going to be faithful in their life, because he's not a respecter of persons. And let's just get focused. There's not a lot of time. And we can get distracted. And I had a sobering thought today. I don't want to get before God and be like, hey, God, look what I did. Look at all the amazing things I did. And God looks at it and goes, that's great. Good job, little buddy. You did good. But there was so much more I called you to. You got distracted. You got your focus off what I had. You got your focus on situations. You started to walk in fear instead of walk in faith, because you got your eyes on how big that enemy army was or how big the fortified cities were. I don't want to be that. I don't want to get to heaven and realize I could have done so much more if my focus had been right, if my mindset had been right. And so we're going to pray right now. I just want you guys to be encouraged. Listen, we don't get to choose circumstances. Not all the time. But we do get to control how we react, our responses, our actions, and the thoughts that we allow to remain. And having that focus changes everything. And we're going to pray right now. But it just encouraged me when I realized, wow, I play a really big part in this. You play a really big part. And you don't have to feel helpless. You can feel hopeful as you turn your focus on God, and as God helps you work out situation after situation after situation, and you look back and you're like, whoa, I never thought I was getting out of there, and look where I am now. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful, amazing God. No doctor's report, no situation is too big for you. And we choose right now to focus on you. You are amazing. We love you. And we declare that we will focus in on you, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith. We thank you, Lord God, that you've begun a good work in us and you will complete it unto the day of Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for people right now casting your cares upon you, for you care for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have not left us like orphans, but you are with us every single step of the way. And I just declare the people that can hear my voice, that their footsteps are ordered and directed by you, that in all their ways they acknowledge you. And Father, we thank you for being such an amazing God and not leaving us and not forsaking us and just helping us every single step of the way. Holy Spirit, you are our helper and you are our comforter and you are amazing. And we thank you, Lord God, that we start relying on you and focusing ourselves on you like never before. We thank you, Lord God, that we are on purpose with our words and our thoughts and our time. And Father, we thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen.